Well, it's indeed a blessing to be here this morning. This morning we're continuing our lessons and our series of thoughts with this year's theme. I've stated it many times. We'll state it many more times before the year ends, and that is loving God with our all our heart, mind, and soul, with our whole being. And each month has had a theme to it as well to go along with the overall theme. And this month's theme is, I will lead my home with all my heart. Now, one might look at the title and say, what in the world does that have to do with my home? I will tell you everything. It has everything to do with our home and our home life. And we'll talk about that, and I'll explain that throughout this day, this morning, and this afternoon. This morning, we're going to look at who is responsible for the development of elders. Brother Bertie talked to me some time ago about having a lesson along this lines. And I thought there's no better time to do that than now. It fits in so perfectly with what we want to talk about this morning. There is a critical need amongst God's people for good qualified men to serve as leaders. We're fortunate enough here at Greenwood to have two of those men serving in the capacity that they do. We appreciate them so much. But I will with that also say, we're only one heart situation away from losing our eldership here. And that's a sobering reality. We have two men. I pray for Brother Todd and Brother Ben's health every day. But if something happens to one of these men, we lose our eldership. And so this is very serious, and it's something that we need to contemplate and have on our minds constantly, be praying for the health of these two men that serve in this capacity here. I know I do not want to be in a situation where we don't have elders, especially if we can help that. And I believe that we can help that here at Greenwood. And that's what we want to do. We want to talk this morning about how we can help that situation. And I read a book one time, and it's probably been several months ago. It was actually a book that Brother Todd gave me, I believe. And it said that it takes 15 years to develop a leader. Now, you stop and think about that for just a second. Usually when a congregation is contemplating appointing elders, it's something, a situation has unfolded, there's been a thought that's happened, and a congregation realizes, whatever that event might be, hey, we need elders here. And so a congregation goes through the process of looking for elders, and we go through the process, we ask for names, and people give names, and we go through the process. Well and good, and we should be doing that. But I hope and pray that we as young men, I look at my son sitting on the front seat this morning, I hope that we as fathers are teaching our sons at an early age what it means to be an elder and what is needed to meet those qualifications. Because I think sometimes we start thinking about becoming an elder. If you're like me, okay, I've got kids. Some of them are becoming Christians. They're at the age of that. Okay, I need to get serious about thinking about becoming an elder. Boy, we've blown it. We could make a mess of our life waiting that long to contemplate and think about becoming an elder in a local congregation. Foresight is needed, and teaching is needed on this subject. You think about that. 10 to 15 years it takes to make a leader. If we wait till, you know, whatever it might be, X, Y, and Z, before we start thinking about that, boy, we've got the next 10, 15 years to devote to meeting those qualifications or excelling to really be able to lead a congregation. And that's where I believe we get into a mess when we wait. We need to be actively seeking out these qualifications and teaching them to our young. And so this morning we're going to look at who is responsible for the development of elders. And then this afternoon we'll come back. I hope that you'll come back. And we'll look at the subject of what can be done to develop elders. And so it's two thoughts. And I'm here to say this morning, I would like to claim all of these thoughts as my own. They are not. I've spent a lot of time on the internet. I've spent a lot of time in God's Word researching and studying about these points that we'll talk about today. And so let's look at the first aspect of this. Who is responsible for the development of elders? Now, you might say, well, how is this going to fit into our theme? this morning, because you haven't really said much about how that's going to fit in with leading my family with all my heart. If we understand what the scriptures have to say about how important elders are in every single local congregation, then who benefits from that? If we are teaching at a young age, those that are older, teaching those that are young in age, the qualifications that need to be met in becoming an elder of a church someday, would our children not behave better? Now think about that for just a second. And we that are teaching in our homes to our children, our young men, what the qualifications are in order to meet those qualifications, become an elder someday, would it not also imply, unless we are hypocrites, that we ourselves who are teaching would excel in the qualifications there? Well, absolutely, right? And so the end result is we have stronger home lives. We have stronger family units because men are assuming the responsibility that God has given to them, and that is to teach our children to love God with all their heart. I don't know why it is. It's a growing trend across the United States, in Canada as well, other places, that groups have no elders. Why is that? Where is we as God's people, did we go wrong with understanding the importance of living a godly life so that when it comes time that a group needs elders, we are there and we meet those qualifications? Where do we go wrong? Who's responsible for that failure? Who's responsible for the success in a local congregation when it comes to elders? Would you study with me this morning on this important subject that we too often neglect to teach and study about? The first point simply is that a congregation as a whole is responsible. Can I explain? And I will say I don't have a lot of scripture for this one, but there are a lot of great thoughts that I've found that speak volumes to the responsibility that a local congregation has for the development of elders. I like this. Brother Gene Taylor says this: they should seek out from among themselves, and it takes and looks at Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, men with potential, men with potential. Now, all of us probably understand and are very familiar about what was going on in Acts chapter 6. There was a situation where some were being neglected, in particular speaking about the widows, and there was a meeting that took place, and in verse 2 it says this of Acts chapter 6, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Goes on to say this: therefore, brethren, seek out from among you men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, some might say, well, it's speaking about deacons. I don't know if it's speaking about deacons or elders. I'm not sure. I can't pinpoint exactly what's being talked about there. But when we go through the appointment process of selecting elders, do we not do this? I mean, when we talk about having elders, we don't look into the Bartersville congregation for elders here at Greenwood. We look in amongst us. Well, what are we looking for when we look in and amongst us when we talk about elders? Are we not looking for men of good reputation, men who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom? Absolutely, are we not? And so the congregation has a responsibility to look within itself to see if there are men who are qualified to meet this position. So what do we do when we look in amongst us and we see men that are qualified to serve in this position? How do we handle that? What do we do with that information? Well, we'll talk about that in future lessons, but I will simply say this. We speak up. We speak up and we speak for these men who meet these qualifications. We need, as a local congregation, to provide a proper environment for the development of these young men so that they desire this position down the road. You know what I've come to appreciate, and maybe I use that very loosely, I don't use that in the positive sense, But maybe I know why there are not more men serving as elders today. Can I tell you maybe an idea with that? We allow divisiveness to go on in local congregations. We allow gossip to go on in local congregations. We allow disrespect to be shown to each other as Christians. Why in the world should we shake our heads and wonder why men don't step up to the plate and serve as an elder? Who wants to be part of that? We all just saw on the news recently a man who was going to be appointed to a Supreme Justice, and look what happened to him. And we might say, well, that's TV, you know? Listen, have you ever been through the appointment process of elders? I've seen it firsthand. I listen to brethren come up to me and talk about a man and what he did 25 years prior to the potential appointment process of an elder today. Why don't many local congregations have elders today? Maybe it's because of these reasons and these things. The congregation presently has elders. Should respect them. Count them worthy of honor, as 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18 teaches us. And when a congregation does this, what do we see in the younger generation? When they see a local congregation appreciate and respect and honor elders, do you know what happens to the young men in a local congregation? They see that, and their tendency is to be more apt to serve in that capacity. So maybe one of the failures or the reasons why we see so many local congregations not have elders, maybe it's because of how the congregation has treated men who do qualify or have served in that position at some point in their life. And it's left a bad taste in their mouth. And men are very reluctant to step up to the plate and serve in that capacity. I was going to thank Brother Ben and Brother Todd for willing to put themselves on the line for this. Brother Ben's not with us this morning, but I appreciate them and their willingness to step up. But I will tell you, Brother Todd could probably speak, the group loves you, and you feel that, don't you? And that makes a big difference. And we hope Brother Ryan, who's off at college right now, that as Brother Todd speaks about the congregation here, he speaks in a favorable way for him, and he paints a beautiful scenario so that Brother Ryan, when he reaches accountability, he not only has his father serve as an elder, but he's seen a congregation love his dad for serving in that capacity. We, as a local congregation, definitely have a role in the development of elders today. Look around at these young men and encourage them. Brother Todd so aptly said, we're going to have a couple young men step up and preach for us next Sunday night. We're going to have two young men step up and preach for us at the end of December as well for us. What do we do in a situation like that? What we say or don't say can have a profound effect on if they will serve as an elder someday. And that, by no means, I don't want us to walk away from a lesson like this and think, as a Christian man, if you don't achieve the position of an elder today, that you're some failure as a Christian. I'm not implying that. Some of us, we'll talk about that in a little later point here, that some of us, our life situations won't allow us to serve in that capacity. But it doesn't change having that attitude that we find in Scripture that we'll study about in a few minutes pertaining to being and qualifying as an elder. I'll tell you, our home life will benefit, and our local congregations will benefit from it as well. The second point on the board this morning, those who are presently serving as elders, if we have any, and we are benefited to have those, Brother Ben and Brother Todd have a critical role to play in the development of elders. I don't know if you all know this, and I don't know if I'm giving information that I shouldn't give, Brother Todd. You give me the if I shouldn't. But I know one of the things that I've appreciated so much is being actively involved in some of these young men that are potentially going to speak for us. Brother Ben and Brother Todd have asked a couple other guys to help with that. Wonderful. They're actively involved in that. No doubt Brother Ben and Brother Todd are going to see these outlines. They're going to look at it. And they're going to talk with these young men after they speak about things that they need to do a little better, things that they did great with. And I'll tell you, as they do that, don't look at that as criticism, because they do that with me. They want what's best for you. So Brother Ben and Brother Todd have a direct impact on men desiring this position or not. When Brother Ben and Brother Ben and Brother Todd are actively involved in these young men's lives, they see older men that love them and appreciate them and want to encourage and foster growth in them. And in turn, guess what these young men are going to want to do? They're going to want to be that man that's aged and helping the younger generation come up. I'll tell you, I've seen too many elders sit back and turn everything over to everybody else and do nothing. And the elders can't do that. They just can't do that. They have to have their hands involved in these young men if we expect them to serve in this capacity down the road. Some of the things that I've come to appreciate being around many elders in my life is how they talk about serving as an elder has a direct impact as well. If Brother Ben and Brother Todd spend time with the younger in this generation, the young men in this congregation here, and all they have to say is negative things, well, you don't understand how long I stay up at night and the things I have to do and the hours that are involved in serving as an elder. I'll tell you what, as you get a little older, you begin to appreciate what that office has to offer. And you know that if a congregation is functioning on all cylinders, you have elders that are up late hours and early hours of the morning. You have men that are together and are brainstorming to see what needs to take place and happen in a local congregation. As you get older, you begin to appreciate that. The younger, they don't need to know that. So speak favorably when speaking about this position. Show how happy you are to serve. Don't grumble and complain. And be thankless when it comes to the local congregation. One of the things I appreciate so much about Brother Ben and Brother Todd is they're always thanking this local congregation for the efforts that we are putting forth. That speaks volumes. See that the young men are being taught and trained in a godly way. Put the efforts that are needed. And eldership has a great responsibility in the development of elders down the road. And I will tell you, as I look at Titus chapter 1, an evangelist has a great part to play as well. It's a responsibility that I understand, and it's a responsibility that weighs on my shoulders every time that I speak or I'm around the younger generation. Right now, Brother Ryan and Brother Grant and myself are teaching the teenagers downstairs. And I'll tell you, there's never a time, whether teaching or sitting in that class and helping the teachers that are teaching, that I don't feel that weight. It's heavy. In verse 5 of Titus chapter 1, it says this, "For a reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you." I tell you, I feel that weight. Not in the only in the appointment process of Brother Ben and Brother Todd, but also future appointments. What am I doing to help these young men grow and blossom into becoming elders someday? You know, we look down the road. I mentioned my son, but I look maybe at Ryan and Brother Greg a little bit closer in serving that in that capacity. There's many in this congregation that I look at. I look at Brad. There's many in this congregation. What are we doing to help these young men? What am I doing to help these men meet and excel in these qualifications? I have a direct part to play in the development of elders. But listen, if my home life is not what it should be, then how in the world can I reach out and help these men? What about those that don't meet the qualifications themselves? Maybe a wife has passed on. Maybe children have become unfaithful, not only to the father of the house, but also to the Father in heaven. Well, what if I don't meet? What if something keeps me from meeting those qualifications that are out of my hands? What do I do in a situation like that? Well, I preached to a congregation where there were 3 self-appointed elders, and they made life miserable for me and everybody else involved. And you know why? Because they didn't meet the qualifications and they didn't want anybody else to meet them as well. And so anytime there was conversation about the appointment of elders, they always had something to say. Well, I'd say, well, what about this brother here? Well, you know what? He did this. And they fight and they try to keep anything good from happening when it comes to an eldership happening. But I'll tell you what, in a positive sense, there's lots of opportunities, aren't there? They can help young men to raise their children to be qualified young men, older men down the road. I'll tell you what, some of the greatest lessons I have learned have come not from elders, but from older men who did not meet these qualifications. They've sat down and they've talked to me about raising children and the mistakes that they've made and encouraged me not to make the same mistakes. So that I don't become maybe a hindrance down the road in a local congregation that needs elders, but I've messed up my life along the way. Tell you what, some of the greatest lessons that I've learned have come from men who have made them themselves or had situations happen in their life and they're not able to meet those qualifications. And a man who cannot possibly meet those qualifications due to life circumstances can manifest greatness of spirit by submitting to those who do meet those qualifications, even though maybe those men who meet those qualifications are far younger than yourself. So even though you don't meet the qualifications yourself, you have a great responsibility to play in the development of elders. I'm here to say that children have a part to play in that as well. When a child demonstrates to his father that he is obedient to him, that he trusts his father without question, it sets that man up to potentially meeting that qualification when his name is brought up. But an unfaithful child, an unruly child, demonstrates to all that that man does not meet the qualifications to become an elder. And so a child has a direct part to play in the qualifications of an elder. Are you as a child receptive to your father as he sits down and tries to teach you about what is right when it comes to Scripture? Are you faithful to your father, your physical father, as well as your spiritual father? Are you doing your part to have a peaceful, happy home? I know one of the things, and I'll be honest with you, one of the things that sets me off, and I have to watch myself because I do move to anger, and it seems counterproductive with what I'm about to say. When my children fuss and fight and argue and get angry with each other, it makes me angry. Now, one might say, as a father trying to defend my situation, because that's been you before, that's righteous anger, and that's okay. I'll tell you, when we have children that function as a family unit and demonstrate to each other that they love each other, the congregation sees this, they witness that, and I'll tell you, it's a beautiful thing when the appointment of an elder process takes place and the qualification that needs to be met is obedient children. And the congregation says, amen. That man's child or children do respect him. And it is evident. What a testimony to a man raising his son or daughter to respect his father. But what a testament to that young man or that young woman who has demonstrated that to their father. Wives, and eventually girls who will become potential wives of elders have a direct part to play as well. Wives may disqualify their husband in many ways. She might be a busybody, and the congregation knows, and the congregation wants to be gentle, but this man's name is brought up, and he meets every qualification possible, but his wife is a busybody. She does not respect her husband, is not in subjection to him. And maybe she has also gossiped about her husband, belittling him in many different ways, damaging his reputation. Listen, wives, you have a direct part to play in the qualification of elders and future men who will qualify as elders in this local congregation. She could be so demanding of him that robs him of any opportunity to devote himself wholly and completely to the work of the Lord. And I've seen this and witnessed this firsthand. She demands so much of him that he can't serve. He can't give all his heart to the work in a local congregation. But I'll tell you what, she also can be the most important person in his life to help him meet those qualifications. She can help him to qualify and to excel. She can help him to know and to grow his knowledge in Scriptures by first having herself where she needs to be with God and an understanding of God's will for her. Her subjection to him will give him confidence and in his ability to lead. I'll tell you, a wife that constantly questions her husband about every decision that is made in a home will cause a man to question if he has the ability to lead a local congregation. Now, we might not, you as a woman in your home might not speak up and say, "I defy you, husband," but your actions might speak loud and clear into his ears and to his mind. Your faithfulness and your love to him will give him the security and peace of mind that he needs to put himself out on the edge of that ledge and stand above the rest. Very quickly, two last points. Mothers, you have a direct impact on what happens in the qualification process of elders down the road. I heard someone once say, I've actually heard it many times before, the hand that rocks the cradle, what? Rules the world. And we use that very lightly, but I'll tell you what, the hand that rocks the cradle has direct impact on the qualification of young men down the road. She is there and able to train her sons to love God with all her heart by demonstrating with her own life what that looks like. I don't see Brother Phil. He said he was leaving early, but I can't help but think of Linda Kemple in that light. She's raised some good children. Her sons preach the gospel, teach and edify other men to meet these qualifications. She had a direct impact on them spiritually from a young age. You women, understand, although you might not be in the front of the building preaching or leading songs or prayers, understand that your role is vitally important in the home and the local congregation when it comes to the appointment of elders. Excel and teach your young men, your young women, to love God with all their hearts. Think about the young girls. I expect much out of my young boys and my young girls. And I do because I know the impact that Heather's had on their life. It'll be a great disappointment to me to have my children leave God and enter into the world because I have seen the countless hours that she's put into them. Be the women that teach your sons and daughters. Lastly, and I'll close out with this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's turn over there very quickly. I want to read these two sets of scriptures in light of what I'm about to say. Young men themselves have a tremendous responsibility in the appointment of elders in this local congregation here. I look at Brother Mitchell and some of these other young men that are up and coming and eventually will have families of their own. They have a responsibility in the appointment process of elders. And they need to take that very seriously now, not down the road, but now. They need to understand at a young age what is needed in order for them to qualify as elders someday. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7, I'm going to read this. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. I'll tell you, we need to teach our children to have a temperament that is righteous. When my boys fight, I come down on them hard. Because they need to understand, an elder cannot act that way. One might say they're only eight. Only eight. They need to learn. at a young age. That they need to be the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, violent, nor greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well. They need to see that in us as fathers. Having his children in submission with all reverence. Young man, read that and get it. God expects that out of you. Verse 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Did you catch that? As a young man, we can ruin our reputation. Even before we have a wife or children of our own, we can lay down a pattern of disrespect and neglect when it comes to the authority of God. So young men, you need to hear this. And you have a direct responsibility as far as the appointment of elders in a local congregation. Read this last verse, then I'll wrap this lesson up very quickly. In Titus chapter 1, in verses 5 through 9. For this reason, as I already read, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, as I have commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. Did you catch that? Go home as a young man and look up those words. What does dissipation mean? What does insubordination mean? And understand that you have a responsibility in the appointment process of your father. Not only yourself, but your father. A bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just and holy and self-controlled. All of these things our children need to see in us and need to be taught that these things are important. I'll tell you what. I appreciate what Brother Nick said. He appreciates Heather and I for having our home open all the time. It seems like we have people in our home all the time. That's on purpose. It's not by mistake. And I'm not going to meet the qualification of being hospitable because of what my wife does. That's a responsibility that I need to meet. Whether it's eating or sitting down, a person has a Bible question that they have, am I willing to put my life on hold to deal with that? It's time for us to develop in our young men a true desire to lead in a godly way local congregations someday. You know what? I found this and I thought this was interesting. It's not someday I'm going to be an elder. Rather, I'm going to be that kind of person who is qualified to serve as an elder. I like that. Determine now to meet those qualifications. So that when the time comes that our name is brought up, there is no question. We don't have to look and say, well, he's not really demonstrated this. No, he has with his life from a young age that he meets these qualifications. It goes back to us as fathers in our home. Do we take our responsibilities seriously of being a Christian or not? Because you know what's interesting? I tried to find the slide that I had on this. All the qualifications that you need to meet for becoming a Christian, minus just a very few, are the same qualifications that you need to meet to become an elder someday. That's sobering. Are we doing all that we can do to serve God with all our hearts? If we are going to raise amongst us here at Greenwood young men who are going to serve as elders in local congregations here or elsewhere to further the kingdom, then it starts at home with you as a man taking seriously the responsibility to educate your children of what they need to do and be in order to serve in that capacity. It starts with you. The lesson's yours. How are you doing with it? If you're like me, you realize very quickly there's a lot that I need to do to improve in, right? So why not accept that challenge and do it? Give forth the effort that's needed to meet and to be the person that God expects us to be. If it means severing friendships or pushing entertainment to the side, then do that. Because ultimately, it's not whether your son or your daughter becomes an elder or an elder's wife, but ultimately, you stand in judgment if you meet those qualifications or not. Are you here this morning and not a child of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Living God? Are you willing to repent of the life that you're living? We want to talk about qualifications this morning. There they are. Are you willing to stand before this group and confess the name of Jesus Christ as your King? If you're willing to do that, then why not be baptized tonight and live faithful throughout all your life? If you desire to become a child of God tonight, won't you do so? The front seat stands ready. You raise your hand, I'll come to you. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living faithful to Him, you've not been giving all, ask Him for forgiveness. If you'd like us to pray with you this morning because of some reproach that you brought on the church has been watching and they've seen in you with your life that you are not serving God with all your heart and you want to get that right, do that this morning. God is willing to forgive more than you can possibly ask Him. But you have to ask. Make your request be made known with action this morning as we stand and as we sing.